prin ferestrele de chat pentru a le putea salva mai ușor decât dintr-o înregistrare video. Ok, o să trecem așadar la subiect. V-am anunțat că se înregistrează. Practic, prezentarea de azi, webcastul de azi o să fie compus din două părți. Prima parte de aproximativ 25 de minute o să se refere la ce s-a întâmplat nou în cursul anului trecut în zona de infrastructură de aplicații, de application servere pe care le avem în WebShare. Ce s-a întâmplat cu WebShare Application Server, pe care cred că toată lumea îl cunoaște, care sunt versiunile noi, care sunt opțiunile și tehnologiile noi pe care le putem utiliza în zona application serverului, precum și o nouă tehnologie pe care IBM a creat-o și a lansat-o anul trecut, o tehnologie legată de Project Zero, dacă ați auzit, este o tehnologie open source menită să ofere o infrastructură de dezvoltare de aplicații ceva mai rapidă, strict pentru aplicații simple, departamentale, fără să fie nevoie de instalarea unui întreg application server. Ce s-a întâmplat cu WebShare anul trecut? Practic, asta are legătură cu istoria brandului WebShare, care începe undeva în 1998, când laboratoarele IBM s-a propus ideea de a veni cu o soluție ceva mai viabilă pentru acel moment în care, practic, aplicațiile web au luat o amploare destul de mare. Ideea a venit la începutul anului 1998. Prima versiune, sau mă rog, înainte de a construi application serverul, a fost cumpărată o companie din Florida, de la care practic și-a luat și numele de brand WebShare, iar prima versiune a application serverului a fost anunțată în același an, 1998, în luna mai. La sfârșitul anului a apărut prima versiune, care practic a avut un succes răsunător la momentul acela. În 2 ani de zile a ajuns să aibă, deși o tehnologie tânără, în 2 ani de zile a ajuns să aibă practic 22% market share pe piața de infrastructură de dezvoltare de aplicații web. Sigur, au fost mai multe, să zic așa, tendințe și au fost lansate pe piață cam în același timp mai multe application servere și de HP și de Oracle. Practic, cea care a rezistat în acele timpuri de început a fost WebShare. În momentul de față, practic, WebShare nu înseamnă numai WebShare Application Server, numai platforma de aplicații J2EE, ci acoperă o zonă mai mare de aplicabilitate, toate având oarecum legătură cu aplicațiile web și aplicațiile Java. Este WebShare Portal, o tehnologie folosită în general în zona instrumentelor de colaborare, portalului web. Este WebShare Commerce, tehnologie folosită în zona de comerț electronic, fie că este business to consumer ca orice alt magazin virtual, fie că e vorba de business to business. Este vorba de WebShare Process Server, de tehnologiile de automatizare de procese, și este vorba de WebShare MQ, o tehnologie care face posibilă comunicarea între aplicații într-un mod reliable. Noi o să vorbim practic astăzi, în prima parte, doar de application server, și în a doua parte, Gert o să vorbească despre WebShare MQ. Nu e nevoie să zic că în acești ultimi ani, aproape 11 ani, s-au făcut o serie de investiții majore în această tehnologie și în acest brand. Practic există 15.000 peste 15.000 de dezvoltatori și utilizatori ai tehnologiei WebShare. O să vă explic la sfârșitul prezentării sau o să vă prezint la sfârșitul acestei prezentări o resursă, un user group în care puteți intra în contact direct, practic, cu acest număr mare de dezvoltatori și sunt sigur că în momentul în care aveți o problemă, puteți să lansați acolo întrebări la care să găsiți soluții, idei pe care poate alții din acest număr mare le-au avut până în acest moment. Ziceam că în această parte o să vorbim, sau în prima parte a prezentării o să vorbim doar de application server, care sunt pachetele, care sunt versiunile de application server disponibile în momentul de față, plus cum pot fi acestea extinse pentru utilizarea de alte tehnologii mai noi, mai trendy în dezvoltarea de aplicații. De exemplu, application serverul, simplu spus, este o platformă de aplicații J2, dar există o serie de noi standarde care apar foarte repede pe piață, cum e Web2.0, cum e SOA, sunt o serie de EJB3.0, sunt o serie de standarde care apar atât de repede pe piață încât ele nu pot fi incluse în versiunile curente, în release-urile majore ale application serverului, pentru a nu crea confuzie în rândul clienților și utilizatorilor existenți. Și atunci există aceste feature packs, aceste pachete adiționale care pot fi instalate cu application server pentru a extinde anumite funcționalități și a extinde suportul pentru tehnologiile noi. A doua parte va fi despre WebSphere Mesh. Ziceam că aceasta este o tehnologie absolut nouă introdusă de IBM anul trecut, o tehnologie care poartă și numele de Project Zero. Este o nouă tehnologie pentru dezvoltarea de aplicații web, aplicații web care poate nu au nevoie de complexitatea unei aplicații J2, ci aplicații simple, departamentale, de exemplu rezervarea de locuri într-o sală de concert, poate fi implementată foarte rapid și foarte simplu pe o astfel de tehnologie, WebSphere Mesh. Care este familia de server, versiunile de servere disponibile disponibile pentru WebSphere Application Server? O să începem de la cea din colț, albă, WebSphere Application Server Community Edition. WebSphere Application Server Community Edition este practic un application server J2E care a împrumutat baza dintr-o tehnologie open source, practic la bază este Apache Geronimo, este application serverul de la Geronimo, care a fost îmbunătățit și care i s-au adăugat câteva feature-uri, dacă vreți, în plus, legate de securitate și stabilitate. Practic, WebSphere Application Server Community Edition este un application server, în continuare, numai open source, dar este free, pe care îl puteți downloada de pe site-ul IBM, îl puteți folosi în mediile de test, în mediile de dezvoltare și chiar în medii de producție, atâta timp cât nu e nevoie de să zic așa, robustețea și stabilitatea unui mediu de producție critic. Deci WebSphere Application Server este free și poate fi downloadat de absolut oricine care intră pe site-ul IBM. Cele cu verde, pachetele din colțul dreapta sus, practic au la bază același core. Același cod de bază și acesta este codul de bază al application serverului de la WebSphere. Prima versiune, WebSphere Application Server Express, este practic un application server cu toate funcționalitățile de bază, dar care are o singură limitare și anume modul de licențiere. Dacă nu am nevoie de o mașină mai mare, să zic de două procesoare, de două core-uri, este suficient să-mi licențiez acest WebSphere Application Server Express. De exemplu, sunt o companie mică care trebuie să-și dezvolte o aplicație nu cu o încărcare foarte mare, în care sunt de ajuns mașini cu două procesoare, două core-uri, atunci e suficient să licențiez WebSphere Application Server Express. Normal că și prețul per procesor, per core, este mai mic decât prețul unui WebSphere Application Server standard, cum este acesta. Acesta este WebSphere Application serverul standard care are suportul necesar dezvoltării de aplicații și doi, are HTTP server, are toate implementările sau conține toate funcționalitățile legate de securitate și configurarea unui application server, însă nu are absolut nicio limitare din punct de vedere licențiere. Poate fi instalat pe orice tip de mașină și sigur licențiat ca atare. A treia versiune din grupul celor verzi, din grupul WebSphere Application Server, este WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment. Practic, ce aduce acest cuvânt Network Deployment în plus este sau sunt funcționalitățile legate de medii, să zic așa, high available. Da? Deci aduc funcționalități în plus legate de configurări de failover, configurări de cluster, configurări de load balancing și pentru că în astfel de medii există mai multe servere care sunt administrate, practic aduce funcționalități de configurare și administrare centralizată a mai multor servere de aplicații. Nu știu în momentul de față cât de interes este ultima versiune, Application Server pentru sistemele Z. Important e că există în România, nefiind foarte multe sisteme Z, cred că e mai puțin popular această versiune. Dar ca funcționalitate se înscrie în linia funcționalităților generale pe care WebSphere Application Server le oferă. Aici este o detaliere a ceea ce conține practic varianta de bază a application serverului, varianta Express și WebSphere Application Server simplu, practic ziceam că este kernelul, este codul de bază a unui application server cu suport pentru tehnologiile J2E, pentru EJB containere, pentru mesagerie de tip Java Messaging Systems, ca și standarde sau tehnologii suportate, sigur, pot fi dezvoltate aplicații web, aplicații de tip care folosesc Session Initiation Protocol, acest SIP. Session Initiation Protocol poate fi folosit în momentul în care vreau să-mi dezvolt servlets de gen Voice, de gen această tehnologie care o folosim astăzi pentru webcast, tehnologie de voce, de mesagerie peer-to-peer. Mai conține de asemenea și acest portlet container. În momentul de față, sau tehnologia de portlet a fost introdusă cu WebSphere Portal, dar poți să instalezi portlet și pe un WebSphere Application Server. La ce te ajută asta? De exemplu, să rulezi o parte din traficul sau din încărcarea unui portal pe un simplu application server, fără a fi nevoie, de exemplu, să licențiezi un portal doar pentru a rula anumite joburi mai complexe. Da? E suficient de a instala un application server și poți să rulezi portleții separat pe acest application server. Sigur, pentru că e un mediu de runtime în general, WebSphere Application Server, versiunea de bază, suntem tot în zona verde, care reprezintă versiunea de bază a application serverului. Există și componentele de administrare web. Probabil știți console administration-ul, dacă sunteți obișnuiți cu application server, dacă ați mai lucrat cu el. Există o consolă de administrare web. Asta nu exclude utilizarea de scripturi în momentul în care vreau să fac deployment, vreau să fac configurări ale profilelor de aplicații. În partea de network deployment, există două componente majore pe care le-aș numi eu de bază. Una legată de administrare centralizată a mai multor servere dintr-un cluster, este acest deployment manager, care împreună cu celelalte componente asigură administrare centralizată dintr-un singur punct al unui întreg cluster, al unui întreg set de servere care sunt configurate să lucreze împreună pentru același job. Ca să fie posibil asta din punct de vedere runtime, există această componentă de High Availability Manager care permite instalarea în paralel a mai multor servere de application server, rularea în paralel a mai multor aplicații, asta fiind transparent pentru utilizatorul final care acceseze, de exemplu, o aplicație web. Mă conectez într-un singur loc, iar în spate pot avea mai multe servere care să permită balansarea de trafic între aceste servere. Practic e pur și simplu utilizat o dată pentru disponibilitate înaltă, să nu am căderi ale serverului, și doi, pentru mărirea puterii de procesare. Edge Component permite balansarea de trafic, este o componentă care se instalează în fața serverelor pentru a realiza această balansare de trafic, eventual caching, iar Proxy Server permite instalarea unui application server într-o zonă de DMZ. Dacă fac o aplicație web a cărui utilizatori se află în internet, sigur am nevoie probabil de mai multe setări legate de securitate, de autentificare, auditare a userilor care accesează acea aplicație. A proxy server, această componentă din Network Deployment îmi permite acest lucru. Job Manager este o altă componentă care ajută la administrarea mai multor, de fapt, servere de aplicații în cluster. Sigur, nu o să intru în detalii foarte mari legate de fiecare componentă în parte, timpul este foarte scurt. Ca și rezumat la acest slide, este faptul că la bază există un application server free și acela este Community Edition. Dacă am nevoie de ceva mai multă stabilitate, de ceva mai multă securitate în aplicațiile mele, atunci avem acest WebSphere Application Server, versiunea de bază sau Express, limitată la două procesoare, este versiunea care cuprinde componentele din pătratul verde, iar dacă am nevoie de disponibilitate înaltă, de cluster de Application Server, există acest WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment. La toate astea, sigur, se adaugă funcționalități suplimentare și mă refeream de fapt la începutul prezentării la aceste feature packs-uri. O să vedem exact ce sunt. De ce ar fi nevoie de feature pack? Dacă ne uităm la istoria unui application server și a release-urilor majore pe care IBM le-a furnizat în ultimii practic 11 ani de acum, vedem că există cam o periodicitate de aproximativ 2 ani, mai mult sau mai puțin, un an, doi, între două release-uri. Tehnologia avansează mult mai repede decât acest ritm, apar standarde noi și idei inovatoare noi mult mai repede decât odată la un an, doi, și atunci este nevoie de adoptarea acestor tehnologii, pentru că ele se dovedesc a fi utile. Ele reduc timpul de dezvoltare pentru utilizatori, reduc complexitatea aplicațiilor pe care le dezvoltăm, motiv pentru care IBM își dorește să includă aceste tehnologii noi în funcționalitatea pe care o oferă odată cu un release major al application serverului. Însă, acest lucru impune și o problemă. Dacă am face o nouă versiune pentru fiecare tehnologie nouă care apare, ar însemna să avem foarte multe release-uri, ceea ce ar fi oarecum ar crea o confuzie și o dificultate în rândul clienților, acelora care trebuie să instaleze și să upgradeze mereu application servere. Iar atunci a venit ideea acestor feature pack-uri, care funcționează, dacă vreți, funcționează ca niște plugin-uri care pot fi instalate împreună cu application serverul pentru a introduce aceste noi tehnologii. Și aici, de exemplu, anul trecut au apărut aceste feature pack-uri, Azure 3.0, un feature pack pentru servicii web care implementa standardele V3 de securitate pentru servicii web, un feature pack pentru SOA, etc. Astea sunt. Și dacă îmi permite să mă exprim așa, sunt plugin-uri pe care le instalez alături de un application server. Cum funcționează? Nu sunt obligatorii pentru a fi instalate. Cine dorește sau cine vrea să utilizeze, de exemplu, o tehnologie nouă apărută, cum cum sunt standardele SOA, Services Oriented Architecture, sunt standarde de dezvoltare ale aplicațiilor per componente. Practic pot lua aceste plugin-uri și le instalează complet separat, fără a afecta infrastructura curentă de application server. În momentul de față, disponibile sunt aceste trei feature pack-uri. O să vedem că o parte din aceste feature pack-uri sunt deja incluse în noua versiune a application serverului, altele încă nu, dar probabil urmează. Vreau să menționez foarte clar că aceste feature pack-uri practic nu sunt ca și niște fixuri, ca și niște noi versiuni, ca și niște refresh pack-uri, așa cum ne-am obișnuit până la versiunile anterioare ale application serverului. Ele nu sunt obligatoriu de instalat. Sunt absolut opționale, dar sigur, în momentul în care acele tehnologii aduse de feature pack-uri ajută, e recomandat ca unele dintre ele să fie instalate. O să vă prezint situația în momentul de față a feature pack-urilor. Practic, cea mai mare instalare sau versiunea cu cea mai mare prezență în momentul de față este application serverul versiunea 6.1. Pentru application server versiunea 6.1, toate tehnologiile sau, mă rog, standardele introduse de V3 referitoare la serviciile web, standardele de securitate de comunicare la serviciile web, sunt implementate în feature pack-ul de web services. Okay. Standardele legate de EJB 3.0 sunt implementate într-un feature pack separat, acest EJB 3.0. Exact așa se numește feature pack-ul. Apoi este Application Server, Feature Pack, For și avem EJB 3.0. Pentru Web 2.0 sunt practic implementate tehnologiile, am să zic așa, la modă în momentul de față referitoare la Web 2.0, tehnologii de genul REST, Ajax, toate lucrurile astea, tehnologii Spring, toate lucrurile astea pot fi adăugate la versiunea 6.1 Application Serverului prin feature pack-ul Web 2.0. În versiunea care a apărut anul trecut, versiunea 7.0, cele două feature pack-uri, Web Services și EJB 3.0, sunt parte din produs. Deci, practic, acestea nu mai trebuie instalate dacă avem instalat un Web Application Server versiunea 7.0. În continuare, feature pack-urile pentru Web 2.0 și pentru SCA sunt disponibile separat, pot fi downloadate de pe site-ul IBM. O să vă trimit link-ul unde puteți găsi toate feature pack-urile disponibile. L-am transmis acum în fereastra de chat. Practic, puteți copia de acolo link-ul și să vedeți ce feature pack-uri sunt disponibile, informații mai multe despre ele. Unele au și demo-uri incluse. Chiar vă încurajez să mergeți către această pagină web și să vedeți ce alte funcționalități puteți adăuga la aplicațiile pe care le dezvoltați în momentul de față folosind Web Application Server. Aș vrea o confirmare de la voi, dacă se poate, să ridicați mâna dacă ați primit și vedeți link-ul pe care tocmai l-am trimis. Ok? Există oameni care ne ascultă, ceea ce e foarte bine. O să trecem atunci mai departe. Mulțumesc frumos! Ok. O să trecem mai departe și o să vorbim puțin despre al doilea topic al prezentării, și anume Web Smash. Pe lângă acest application server, care este un application server J2EE, am trecut să introduc acest proiect nou numit Project Zero. De ce ar fi nevoie de un astfel de, sau de ce a fost nevoie de un astfel de proiect? Mai ales că avem în portofoliu un set, aș zice, complet în zona de application servere. Practic, există foarte multe situații în care doresc să implementez aplicații foarte simple, aplicații departamentale, care nu necesită, sau pentru care nu aș avea nevoie neapărat de tehnologii de genul EJB, de de XML, de web services, etc. Vreau pur și simplu niște aplicații foarte simple, dacă vreți, de genul PHP, de genul Groovy. Sunt aplicații foarte simple pe care aș vrea să le dezvolt. Și atunci s-a introdus acest application server numit Smash, care la bază nu este altceva decât un mediu de dezvoltare web pentru aplicații web 2.0 folosind scripting Groovy sau PHP. O să trec puțin mai repede peste el, pentru că suntem deja în overtime, dar ca să înțelegeți ce vreau să spun despre a dezvolta repede și flexibil și cât mai rapid o aplicație web de acest tip, vă transmit un link către o înregistrare video cu un demo al acestui instrument de dezvoltare. E un instrument de dezvoltare web cu un application server care practic nu are nevoie de J2EE, folosește în general scripting dynamic, Groovy sau PHP, iar mediul de dezvoltare este unul atât scripting, cum puteți vedea în acest print screen de aici, dar poți să faci și dezvoltare vizuală, cum se poate vedea în print screen-ul de aici, din partea dreaptă. E o tehnologie nouă, e o tehnologie pe care eu o consider foarte atrăgătoare, mai ales în zona dezvoltatorilor care vor să dezvolte repede și să ansambleze repede un application. E o tehnologie care nu necesită un hardware și sisteme cu configurări complexe, nu cere foarte multă memorie, permite instalarea unui număr practic nelimitat de aplicații, dacă vreți. Toate aceste aplicații funcționează ca și procese complet separate, fiind administrate din punct de vedere memorie, resurse pe care le utilizează pe server separat. Vă încurajez să accesați linkul pe care l-am trimis, cel cu Project Zero. Acolo este un filmuleț care vă arată și vă descrie ceva mai bine modul în care se pot dezvolta astfel de aplicații, iar mai multe informații despre Smash și despre Project Zero, practic, puteți vedea pe site-ul acestui proiect interesant, projectzero.org. Într-un final, am promis că o să vă dau mai multe informații despre unde puteți colabora cu alți utilizatori WebSphere, practic pe lângă resursele referitoare strict la WebSphere Smash, pe care le vedeți în prima parte, în josul paginii există un link pe WebSphere.org. Acolo puteți să vă afiliați unui user group, fie din România, fie din altă țară. Vă încurajez să vă afiliați, să căutați un grup din România pe care l-am creat anul trecut și încercăm să le extindem la un număr cât mai mare de utilizatori. Asta să ne ajute să descoperim problemele pe care le avem în comun și să găsim soluții practic mai ușor pentru aceste probleme. Că sunt convins că dacă cineva are o problemă, există cel puțin încă 3, 4, 5, 10, poate sute de oameni care au avut aceeași problemă înaintea lui. Dacă vi se pare, înainte de a termina, practic o singură confirmare mai vreau să cer de la dumneavoastră. Dacă vi se pare utilă acest user group, o comunitate în care să putem să discutăm fie în condiții de tip forum, fie în condiții de tip, nu știu, să ne întâlnim periodic și să discutăm eventual probleme, issue-uri, plăceri, neplăceri pe care le avem cu produsele WebSphere. Dacă vi se pare interesant o astfel de inițiativă, o să vă rog să ridicați mâna. Între timp o să predau ștafeta lui Gherb, care o să continue cu mulțumesc frumos, am primit foarte multe confirmări, sper să vă înrolați în WebSphere.org și acolo, practic, dacă faceți join to group, căutați România și în felul ăsta putem să ne știm de urmă fiecăruia în momentul în care vrem să colaborăm pe probleme de tip WebSphere. Eu o să predau ștafeta lui Gherb, pentru că deja timpul meu s-a scurs, dar cam astea au fost informațiile pe care am vrut să le transmit. Despre WebSphere Application Server, versiunea free și versiunile de bază până la Network Deployment pentru disponibilitate înaltă, despre Smash, o nouă tehnologie destul de flexibilă pentru dezvoltarea de aplicații mici, și despre user group-ul pe care încercăm să-l creăm în România. Așa că o să trec în engleză să îi predau ștafeta lui Gert. Gert, are you still with us?
Oh yeah, I'm very much still with you. So
Okay,
I guess the
so
question is, how does the handover work on this tool? And otherwise, I guess it remains for me to say, catch your flight, have a good trip, have an excellent journey, and we'll see you some other day.
okay, thank you very much. So I'll take it over to you. So you have the presenter's rights now.
Okay, I hope it'll come through any second now, because I expect to see that icon up there that says that I can actually present. Okay, while that is trying to come through, let me just start talking a little more. I've introduced myself. I've been in IT for about 42 years by now. I've been with IBM since 1998. I've been with MQ since 1995. And once I get to show you my slides, hopefully, I will tell you how much time MQ had without me and how much time MQ had with me. Sorry guys, but the presenter rights are not don't seem to appear here. Kalin, can you help me with this?
Yes, hello. Hello, Gerd. I'm taking care of this right now. Just
Okay,
give me
thank
one
you.
second, and I'll try to make you the presenter from my side. One second, please. Okay, so now you should have
Something just changed.
present.
Yes.
Please see if this came through this time.
Yeah. Something should be happening in a moment. No, that's still the old presentation.
Yes, you have to go up to publish and choose your presentation from up there.
Yeah, I did that.
All right, so let's just wait a few seconds until it changes.
Here we go.
Okay, great. So, see you again. Bye.
Just to give you a bit of a historical feel, I actually took an old presentation, as old as I could find, and as you can see on the next slide, this was by one of the old icons of MQ architecture, a fellow named Anthony O'Dowd from the IBM labs in Hursley in England, and he did this in the year 2000. I think before that, most of our slideshows were still physically on transparent foils and were on overhead projectors. So this is as old as we can get. I updated this for the first time in the year 2004 when I found that we didn't have any really good current presentations on MQ. You notice also the product has changed from MQ Series to WebSphere MQ. And I did another update here, and that's why this presentation has three title slides for version 7. Also, please notice the artwork that we had in the MQ Series logo in the beginning. Nowadays, of course, we fall under the WebSphere brand, and things have changed. Our native color now is also purple, as you can see here in the top left corner where the WebSphere software exists. Let me rush through because I have ventured out to tell you everything about MQ that's worth knowing in 25 minutes, and that actually can't be done. So here's the agenda. From zero to here, a bit of history, but we have to quickly say what is message queue and what's the problem. What's the solution? What are the communication styles? There's a major paradigm shift that arrived with MQ Series. Some of the basic elements, the styles and topologies, features, what's new in version 7, and where does the WebSphere portfolio go from WebSphere MQ, as opposed to the other side of the portfolio that you've just seen presented by Ovidiu, the application server side of things. Let me go on. At first, when computers started communicating, things literally looked one hell of a mess. Enterprise integration was a problem, and everybody had his own systems, and essentially, if you had to connect two systems, you had to hope that there were two messaging or communication stacks that could actually talk to each other, which often was not the case. So you essentially ended up focusing on the small picture, and things were complex, things were inefficient, they were expensive to maintain, and connectivity was actually accomplished at a price. If you saw here, you had a Unisys talking to an IBM, you had an AS/400 talking to a Sun, and the decks were outside. You had these clusters of connectivity, islands of connectivity almost, and the idea then was that we would come in and bring connectivity also between the islands. I was going to say I'm breathlessly waiting for the slide to show up. And we introduced middleware to link the islands. That improved the productivity, the efficiency. Your customer service went better, your service to your IT community, and it also reduced costs. How did that happen? A large part of it had to do with the fact that with MQ series, as we still called it in those days, we managed to put a whole lot of complexity into a separate module, and where in the beginning people communicated conversationally between two applications, let me use the pointer to show you, two applications that had to be online continuously while they were talking because they followed a certain protocol which was extremely stateful. If you got out of sync at some point, there was only one thing, disconnect, reconnect, and start from scratch. Later they had a more elegant way where they said, okay, we can call sub-programs, sub-procedures, and so why can't we do that remotely? People invented all these different mechanisms that were called RPC or RMI and so on and so on, but it was still synchronous. If you wanted to get information from that application or just wanted to send it some information, they both had to be online at the same time. And then somebody came up with a smart idea of asynchronous communication store and forward, and to take all these pieces of logic and remove them from your application program, put them into a separate product. And therefore, on the next slide, we'll have the, I think, most compelling reason for messaging middleware like WebSphere MQ, and that is, first history, sorry. Well, I took that slide out altogether. Never mind. Queues existed in a product called CICS, or as we used to call it, KIX, but they existed only on KIX and only on mainframes, or mostly. IBM tried to put KIX on other platforms at some point, but wasn't very successful. It was easy to use, it was straightforward, but it was only there for KIX programmers to use between KIX applications. No cross-platform use, and no particular design point that you would call reliability. And then someone had an idea, and around 1992, in IBM's labs in Hursley, England, standalone MQ series was born, and that's with these all-important features. Okay, MQ series asynchronous middleware. First thing actually is one interface. We're going to start at the bottom where the number one is. Portability of applications and easier cross-platform communication, because if you were on a DEC system of some sort, or if you were on an IBM system or a Boolean Babbage system or whatever they had in those days, you could use the same API and you could use the same middleware to communicate between your applications. To the extent that your applications were written in a language that was portable, in those days everybody dreamed of C, you could port these applications between platforms and the connectivity would still work the same way. The other thing is we were concentrating on business because the communication portion went down from sometimes 60-70% of the code to usually much less than 5% of the code. So programmers concentrated on the business problems, and the communication business went outside of the application and therefore was much less of a burden. It also helped to clean up network connections because not all applications had to connect to all applications anymore. They just connected to MQ, and MQ then connected across between all the servers. The time independence, which is essentially achieved by queuing messages, meant that the partners have to be online at the same time, and you get the opportunity to send requests to many servers in parallel so they could all work for you in parallel. The other thing was the robust middleware where we say we put assured message delivery in here, a message recovery automatically after a restart of a system. And we added another important feature called transactionality, where you could combine all the actions that form one business transaction into one transaction, or sometimes called unit of work, in your software as well. In other words, all the changes, like you know it from a database, were only applied once you were done with all of them, once you committed the whole unit of work. That was the slide I was looking at. And it was quite normal in those days that the communication logic here, where's my pointer? Here we go. So the communication logic actually exceeded the business logic in those old-style programs. If this were, for instance, APPC, it was massive, and it had huge retry and resync pieces of logic in there that were actually very expensive to program and maintain. But using the MQ interface, we call it the API, MQI, message queuing interface. The business logic was separated from the messaging and queuing logic, and you didn't have to code this. You only coded this part, and that made it so cost-effective. Just one thing about this time independence. As we said in the old style, where's my pointer doesn't work. Ah, here we go. In the old style, programs had to be connected and they had to be engaged in a conversation for the whole duration of exchanging of information. Then queues came in, and applications could put messages into queues, and other applications could read them off the queue. If the reading application was busy, messages would just pile up here. But if the application wasn't even available, it was offline, it wasn't running, you could still queue messages for it. And when that application came on board to read the messages, the sending application didn't have to be there anymore. Or if both applications were absent at some point or other, the messages would still be kept safely in the queues. So those were the characteristics of a decent messaging systems in those days. Our basic philosophy is program orientation as opposed to user orientation. So this isn't email, this is commercial messaging. Ease of programming, an API made up of very simple verbs, very few simple verbs actually, which speeds up your application development cycles. We had this concept of guaranteed once and once only delivery of data. We had transactional messages where you could coordinate multiple messages, but you could also coordinate with other resource managers such as databases. And I'm talking about past tense here all the time primarily because MQ has had all of this pretty much from day one. There was just one thing. Our lawyers came talking to us and said, you got to be careful about what you talk about. You can't say guaranteed delivery. We suggest you use the term assured because otherwise people would want their money back if they ever lose a message. And you have to prove to them that it was their own fault. So we now talk about assured delivery of data. Okay, I'm waiting for the next slide here is what it is. And, here we go. I give you some of these slides with tons of information, not because I want to read all of that to you. I don't have time in 25 minutes to do that. But you will get the presentation to look at yourself. And remember that these statistics were the success story of round about 1999. You also see at the bottom all these various excellence awards and best of this and best of that and certified for this and certified for that. In those days, those awards were still granted on a fairly regular basis, and WebSphere MQ, or in those days MQ Series, really skimmed off a whole lot of those. The best one, though, was coming a few years after the peak of all these awards. That's this thing here, and it was very special because it came from a totally unexpected direction. And if the slide were built up just now, here we go. MQ Series was rebranded into the WebSphere brand and became WebSphere MQ. And then on the 11th of June 2004, the Royal Academy of Engineering in England, in Britain, gave IBM the award for innovation that, as they say, most people had never come across. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. If you want to read more than what's on this slide, I include the link to the story here at the bottom. It is the first time that engineers gave an engineering award to a piece of software. But they explained why that is, and His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, was actually handing over the award, and of course, all the guys from the Hursley Labs that were there were like tickled pink, and very proud. It was definitely one of the great moments of MQ Series after it stopped being MQ Series, actually. But let's go on. From looking at history and how great things were to... For those of you who have never seen how it works, let me give you a few basic elements. Let me talk about some of the messaging styles and topologies next. And then I could skip over the features. I only have two left in the presentation anyway. So let's see. Again, commercial message-oriented middleware asynchronous support in those days for over 35 platforms. Of course, the number of platforms grows and shrinks with the operating system market. Every time we get a new version of Windows in that we have to support, it goes up by one, and when we drop an old version, theoretically, it goes down by one, although the support is still available in the older versions of MQ, so theoretically, we could still count those. The MQI is very simple. I'll speak about that in a moment. But also, we support JMS, the Java Messaging Service, as a messaging service provider to essentially all application servers out there from the J2EE family, including, of course, WebShare Application Server. I didn't understand every word that Ovidio spoke, but I'm sure he mentioned that we also have a built-in JMS provider in Application Server. So that's a long story. We still give you assured once-only message delivery. That once-only, by the way, is a very important aspect because there are many ways of ensuring that messages get delivered, but they often just fall back on, well, if in doubt, just send it until we know it's getting there. If they get more than one copy, they have to worry about it at the other end. Not MQ. MQ can guarantee you that the receiving application sees every message exactly once. If that message is one transferring a lot of money from your account to somebody else's, you will appreciate that it is only presented once. Okay, transactional support, I mentioned that, and at that time, and we're not talking about the early 2000s, in messaging middleware, WebSphere MQ took more than 80% of the market. IBM stopped counting. Gartner at some point quoted 87%, which, by the way, for those of you who have to sell WebSphere MQ into the market, that means that all competitors taken together had 13% left. Okay, there was back then well over 10,000 customer sites. Nobody knows exactly how many it is today. I guess somebody would have to cruise through IBM's customer databases to find out more, but nobody seems to have done that lately. Okay, here's some of the platforms. Some of the platforms have MQ servers. Some of the platforms only have MQ clients. What that means is something that I'll explain on a later slide. And we have, this was in 2000, and we've added more platforms than we've dropped since then. So it's going up. Somebody said if you count all the variants of different operating systems, it'll be somewhere in the 80s by now. Okay, MQ deals with messages. Messages consist of header and user data. The key story is that user data can be any sequence of bytes, any combination of things you might be interested in. And the header is a relatively straightforward fixed thing that helps MQ administer the messages and also allows the application to keep track of where its message came from, where it needs to go, and things like that. The next item we're going to discuss are queues. Obviously, with message queuing, you expect to find messages, you expect to find queues. Queues are where we put messages for applications to find them. We have persistent messages and non-persistent messages. The persistent ones are the ones whose delivery we assure. The non-persistent ones are not so important, but they can travel faster because we don't have to treat them so carefully. Message access could be first in, first out, could be by priority. And if applications know what specific message they're looking for, they can also directly pick messages out of the queue. Queues can be predefined. Queues can be defined dynamically as you run your application. At the moment, the biggest message size we support is 100 megabytes. That's in version 5 of MQ, and it is still the same thing in version 7 of MQ. But we can group multiple messages into one single logical message, which then could be larger. And, of course, we have a very powerful feature. Many applications can access the same queue simultaneously, but you also have exclusive options if you don't want that to happen. Next thing is a queue manager, and this is a cool slide because it gives me an opportunity to introduce you to my 45-second explanation of the MQ API. Queues are organized in queue managers. That's the server code that runs on your system, and applications connect to that to issue MQ puts, to put messages into a queue, and MQ gets to get messages out of a queue. If you think of writing into a file system and reading from it, an MQ put is like a write to a file, and MQ get is like a read from a file. The only thing is that many applications can be writing and reading at the same time. All they have to do is, before they can put messages into a queue or get messages out of a queue, they have to open that queue. And when they're done, they can close that queue again. And please remember to do that because it makes administration inside MQ much easier. So that's very much like a file system. If you want to write to a file, you have to open. If you want to read from a file, you have to open it. And at the end, you're supposed to close it properly. Now, the only extra thing that we have here is the connect and the disconnect. That's because the file system is always there when you're running in the operating system. You don't have to connect to it from an application. But the MQ features are not automatically there, so your application has to connect to a queue manager in order to be able to open queues and put data in there and so on. And when they're done, they're supposed to disconnect. So the queue manager knows that it can now save all the little control blocks that it has for on behalf of your user ID and so on. Okay, and then on the right-hand side, we have a few additional API verbs where you can connect with special parameters, MQ connects. You can just put one message into a queue that will open the queue, put the message and close the queue all in one API call, makes it more efficient if you never put more than one message at a time. We have things where you can inquire queue attributes and set them. And we have the transactional mechanisms where you can begin a transaction, you can commit a transaction, you can roll back a transaction, very much like you would do with a database. And in fact, if you do this with MQ and you configure it to synchronize with the database on that, we will use the XA protocol for two-phase commits to commit the resources in the database and in MQ simultaneously. Next slide. Of course, having one queue manager and having a queue in there isn't really the end-all and be-all. Some people have made very clever use of that and found it extremely helpful. But the really interesting thing comes in when an application wants to put messages to a queue, and it doesn't even have to know that that queue actually sits on a different server, because my queue manager is smart enough to say, this queue isn't here, this queue is over there, and puts the message into a transmission queue, which it maintains specifically for that connection. And then we talk about something called a message channel, which is a message channel agent to send messages over the network, the piece of network that does it, and the message channel agent that receives the messages and puts them into the destination queue. And the receiving application can just get the message out of here, and it doesn't even have to know that this message came from an application on another system. It can find out by just looking at the message header, or message descriptor, as we actually call it in MQ, but it doesn't have to worry about that. Okay, on the agenda, the next item are some messaging styles and topologies, and let me go there. Okay, one of the nice things that you can do with assured deliveries, you can fire and forget, which is the colloquial term for this. You can just send a message and not bother with a reply. If you know the message delivery is assured, you can just trust the other end to deal with it. This is always a good thing if there's no really important information that can come back. Let's assume program A sends a print request off to program B, which is in a different town. Now, if that print request runs into trouble, like the printer's out of paper, it doesn't help at all to send a message back here to say, just get in your car, drive 2,000 kilometers, and put some paper in the printer. You'd rather deal with that locally here somehow. So there's no point in sending responses back here in some cases. There are, of course, all the other cases where you have a request. And this, of course, is the model that we use when we talk about service orientation, a request that is handled by a service and a response is sent back. Usually, and this is, you know, best practice, anything else would be horrible practice indeed, you put the response back or the reply into a separate queue. You can even have reply to queues for different program A's, and that actually gets me onto my next slide, or the next one after that, actually, because the next slide just says you can build any form, shape, or network as you want. You can chain programs like this, or you can loop things back where the reply actually goes back via a third party. And on the next slide now, we have two additional considerations. This top picture, if it comes back in a moment, actually shows us something that happens a lot, that many clients or many service requesters put messages into the same service queue. The server processes them. And in this case, it isn't responding, but it is quite easy for you to see that you may have responses going back to one, two, three queues, one for each of the original requesters where they pick up their replies. You could also pick up the replies via a message ID and correlation ID combination out of a joint reply queue, but then you would just pick your own replies doing that. We also have a mechanism. If I have a large number of messages coming out of somewhere, and in this case, the somewhere is actually the application A, then we can put messages into one queue, and if one instance of the service application can't deal with it, we can run multiple instances in parallel. And if we use MQ clustering, we can even, and I'll show you that in an extra slide in a moment, we can even run these things on separate systems, so you can actually start building a much larger capacity to handle messages than you could maybe on a single server. So that's one of the things that over time we had to work on with MQ. And in fact, one of the things they've managed to do is improve the performance in every new release significantly. So this thing is also getting faster and faster as we watch. And of course, there's also the additional thing that computers get faster too. So the compound effect of that means that you can now put a lot more messages through. Yes. Okay, this example here shows us that there are situations when you can't really have a queue manager on every system in your environment. In particular, if you're looking at a local area network in a branch or a shop in your organization, then you might just want one queue manager on a central server in that network, and all the applications that run on the client systems will just use a remote stub that we call an MQ series client to put messages and get messages into queues or out of queues on this queue manager here. So that is the situation where you don't want or you can't put the full MQ server capability onto each system. We have the capability of remotely accessing the queue manager on your server. The nice feature about, and the nicest feature about this MQ series client interface is its price, big fat zero. And that's one thing we can't beat it on. The features that you get from an application that runs directly on the same machine as a server and only uses inter-process communication, there are benefits, there are lots of benefits to that, but there are cases when this is the only economical way of dealing with things. That could be a long discussion in itself, and I'm beginning to realize that I am fast running out of time and I haven't really done a lot to some of the newer stuff. Okay, queue manager clusters. You put multiple queue managers together and you logically combine them, and that says that I can now use a workload balancing exit and put things onto, quote, the same queue, unquote, on different systems, and different server applications, different instances of the same server application can process messages and the capacity is added. The nice thing is that it also increases the availability. If one server should drop out, the others can continue to process. So the capacity has gone down a little, but by and large, users will hardly notice this. Now, the latest, of course, in WebSphere MQ7, that's probably still a very important point I want to cover. I did click. Now, where's the new slide? Essentially, what we're trying to accomplish with WebSphere MQ version 7, everybody looked at version 6 and said it's basically perfect. There's nothing more we need to add. It's been, you know, a very logical extension of what we've done from the beginning, and then somebody looked at the implementation of JMS, and we said, yes, when we first had to put Java messaging service support in, we just couldn't change MQ, so we grafted it on top. We just put the code outside of MQ, made it a support pack so you could install it separately on top of MQ, and it wasn't really the best possible implementation. And since JMS has become more and more important over time, it was decided that maybe this is what we need to do. We need to fully integrate the JMS capabilities into MQ. And one of the things that came in there was that JMS requires you to have a good publish-subscribe engine. You haven't heard the term before. I'll get back to that in a moment. Publish-subscribe was a good idea even before JMS, and MQ had support for it, again, as a separate installable option. And then later it was included, but ultimately it was still grafted on. And what we then decided was, while we're doing this JMS integration, we might as well integrate PubSub. And as a result, for the first time in, well, since 1992, we've added to that list of API verbs. We can now subscribe directly to a particular topic. We can put messages to a topic rather than a queue. And now I'm actually beginning to assume that you already know what PubSub is. Let's simply explain it. We're decoupling the sender and the receiver. We're no longer putting messages into a single queue. We're publishing messages on a topic, as we call it, which is sort of a header line that says this is about this general area of interest, and other applications can now decide whether they want to read messages on that particular area, and then they subscribe, and each application that subscribes to a certain topic gets a copy of all the messages that are published on that topic. So there is a one-to-many relationship typically. Of course, it could be like a webcast like this. I'm talking and nobody's listening, in which case it would be a one-to-zero relationship. We just hope it doesn't last very long and everybody comes back. But the nice thing also is that in a PubSub environment, you can quite flexibly change the number of recipients to messages all the time. Okay, and ultimately that's what you find here, that some of the features that we needed for JMS are also useful for the general MQ interface applications. And essentially the administration model and the API changes are just natural evolutions of the existing interfaces. So you're not really changing everything dramatically. So in a nutshell, WebSphere MQ7, the JMS support was updated, the pub sub was completely reinvented. It is now a native part of the API. We added message properties, which were needed by JMS, which are now very useful, which also allows us to get messages using selectors, and that means not getting all the messages in the queue, but just the ones we're interested in. There's a couple of things where we dramatically increased the performance of the MQ client interface. Remember, that's when the application doesn't run on the same box as the server. We added capabilities to make MQ a reliable transport for SOAP. Remember, most web services that use SOAP messages will use them over HTTP. HTTP is not the most reliable of protocols. So if you need reliability with your web services, SOAP over MQ or SOAP over JMS is an excellent choice, and we have a feature built in now that can support you on that. We also have the opposite feature in it, where we say we can give you MQ access from machines that have absolutely no MQ code on them. So you don't even have to install the MQ client. You just use HTTP to access an application server where we run an MQ servlet that takes these HTTP messages and puts them on queues or uses them as a request to get messages from queues and send them back. Very handy. WebCMQ as a SOA asset we have as a support pack. You know, if you see these numbers or these codes like MA93 here, this thing here, then that usually says this thing is available as a support pack. It is a separately downloadable, installable component, and this is used to describe WebCMQ-based services to service registries and repositories such as our WSRR. Very handy for those of you who are going into a SOA journey. So that was really what I needed to say about version 7, and I think in the interest of time, I should probably navigate further to some other slides here, because essentially what I have on the next few slides is the somewhat detail for all these.
Jed, this is Alin. Very sorry to interrupt, but unfortunately we're already 10 minutes over time. So
I'm going out, have
the conclusion.
And I think I'll just go and quickly handle the ESB offerings, and then I'm going to be done. All right.
Okay, thank you.
I knew you had to say something sooner or later, because I'm watching the clock as well. But as I said, 25 minutes was a mission that couldn't be accomplished. ESB, or Enterprise Service Bus, typical IBM, we have three. WebSphere Message Broker on the right-hand side here, the most comprehensive one, firmly based on MQ technology. In fact, it was originally designed as an MQ add-on, but now can do tons of wonderful things. You have a WebSphere ESB that's more for people that took up a video and built everything on top of the WebSphere application server, and if you need message service connectivity there, then the WebSphere ESB will be the ideal tool. It ties in very nicely also with WebSphere Process Server and these things. And there are things that are best handled outside of servers, and that's the WebSphere Data Power Integration Appliance. There you get your software on a piece of hardware that we provide along with the software, and it has huge capabilities in terms of putting security on your, say, intercompany links or even intracompany if you have different areas and you want to ensure that certain parts of your assets are not wrong partners. Yes, I'm afraid we're losing people now. That's unfortunate. Okay. Let me mention the MQ File Transfer Edition, which is an add-on product to WebSphere MQ version 7 that allows you seamless integration of managed file transfers into your MQ infrastructure. In other words, all these wonderful things like FTP, Connect Direct, etc., are no longer necessary. You can use the reliability of the MQ network to make sure that your files are transferred from A to B. It can script the whole thing, primarily using Apache, and it can audit trail the whole thing, very important in many cases today because there are government requirements and so on, and it adds a solid layer of security based on the MQ security, of course, onto your file transfers. And let me mention something, because Ovidio kind of raised the expectation that I would. It is also called WebSphere MQ, but it isn't WebSphere MQ. It's the WebSphere MQ low latency mechanism, which is essentially just a UDP and TCP-based multicast and unicast messaging, where in MQ we're sometimes proud if we can give you a few thousand messages a second. This thing would give you a few thousand messages a millisecond, but nothing is reliable. It's all very speedy, and there are certain requirements where this is just the right thing. And that, sort of having taken the last few corners at maybe slightly too high a speed and on two wheels, but remember, you're getting this presentation with the slides that I just decided not to talk about, so you can all have lunch on time, hopefully. I actually clicked here. Why don't I get it? Because this is essentially the end of my story, and I've seen in the chat that the Q&A is probably not realistic to try and answer all questions right now, but I'm sure we will collect all your questions, and we will respond to them in an email, as Colleen suggested earlier. So this was my agenda. I hope I haven't taken you through all of this far too quickly. All I can say is I've now been working with WebSphere MQ since 1995, and it is still one of the most exciting pieces of software I've ever met. That's my opinion, and that's, I think, where I end my speech. Colleen, would you like to take over for closing words?
Yes, Gerd, thank you very much for this excellent, excellent presentation. Thank you to Ovidio as well, and to all our participants. I'll just switch to Romanian now. So, Gerd, thank you again, and we'll be in touch afterwards. Just a few final housekeeping messages that I'll relay in Romanian, if that's okay. So thank you, Gerd.
Oh, of course.
Ok. Bună ziua, mulțumim încă o dată tuturor pentru participare. Sperăm că vi s-a părut interesant acest webcast și prezentările, sperăm că au fost la nivelul la care vă așteptați. Mulțumim tuturor care ne-au trimis adresele pe care să fie trimise premiile. Ce nu am precizat este că am preferat să fie, de fapt trebuie să fie adrese de servici, pentru că politica companiei ne împiedică să trimitem orice fel de premii pe adrese personale acasă. Deci, din păcate, vă rog să îmi trimiteți, credeam că este subînțeles faptul că adresele sunt cele de servici. Deci, cei care ne-au ascultat, vă rugăm să mai faceți un mic efort să ne trimiteți adresa de la servicii, cum am spus, ne împiedică politica să vă trimitem pe adresele personale. În rest, noi vom continua cu genul acesta de webcast-uri și genul ăsta de evenimente, pentru că vedem că participarea a fost foarte bună. Vă mulțumim foarte mult tuturor și sperăm să vă revedem și să ne reauzim curând. Vă vom trimite un e-mail de follow-up, iar datele noastre de contact le aveți deja. Vă stăm oricând cu mare, mare plăcere la dispoziție. Mulțumim tuturor pentru participare și vă dorim o zi foarte bună. Numai bine. La revedere!
Anybody still on the horn?